Well, a big, good, and glorious morning to you all. And let's give a big shout out to the man upstairs. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Because today we're going to talk about God's favor. His favor, because God is in this place. Oh, Father, we love you with all our heart. And we come to you today, Father, in humility and gratitude, and expect you to open the eyes of our heart that we may see you bigger, bolder, better, more real to our life than ever before. In Jesus' holy name. Take your Bibles, please, and go to Genesis chapter 8. That's going to be our main text for today. But you know what, folks, in case you haven't noticed, we're living in troubled times, and that starts with T, and that rhymes with P, and that rhymes with pool. Something like that, the music man. But you know what? We are God's offspring, and he is the God of anything is possible. And in any situation, God is laser focused. He still wants to show those who trust in him favor. And so today we're going to have a lot of fun because we're going to the Old Testament, and I love the Old Testament because to me the Old Testament is like Technicolor, man. You see pictures. It's so easy to picture this stuff. And yet when you picture it, it's so layered and nuanced. But before we start in Genesis 28, I want to give you a little background so you can turn there and keep your finger there. Because this is a wild and woolly tale of family drama. And whose family does not have drama? Ask your mama. You may remember that Isaac was the promised son, seed, of Abraham and Sarah. Remember them? Well, Isaac married a very godly woman named Rebecca. But, like Sarah, she was barren. But later in life, they prayed for her to conceive, and lo and behold, she got preggers. Not with one, but with two. She had twin sons in her womb, and they could not have been more different. Well into her pregnancy, she said to the Lord, "What's up with this? These babies are in my womb. They're fighting like rock'em sock'em robots. Is this of you, Father, that they're fighting like cats and dogs in there?" And you know what God said to her? You know, you never know what God's going to say. He surprises you all the time. He said, "Yeah, because there are two nations in your womb." This is in Genesis 25. You can look it up after class. You know, there are two sons in your womb who are going to be the fathers, the forefathers of two nations. And those nations are going to be rivals. Maybe you've heard of Muslims and Christians. Maybe not. One nation will be stronger than the other, and the older son will serve the younger. Praise the Lord, and pass the peanut butter. Because in Romans 9, God said this, "It is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." Those were the twins, Jacob and Esau. Yikes. Esau have I hated. Can you imagine living with that? But people, God knows whether you're going to receive him or not receive him, even in the womb. And that's why God has your favor all lined up and stacked up and ready to go. It's just, they're like little guys jumping out of an airplane. They all have their parachute on. And when God knows, hey, this person's going to believe me when they're X years old, that favor is sitting there ready, just ready and waiting for you to accept it. And before they were even born, before Rebecca even got pregnant, God knew that Jacob's heart would be directed by God. He would be a lover of the things of God. And he knew before he was born that Esau's heart would be directed by the lust of his flesh. And in Hebrews, God even warns us not to be like Esau. I'm going to quote from Hebrews because this is what God says, not me. He says, don't be like Esau, a fornicator and a godless person like Esau, who for one meal sold his birthright. And that is why Esau didn't receive God's favor, because he was way outside of God's will. Now, Esau was a big old hairy red-haired guy that was a skillful hunter. He was a man of the earth, and he was a man of fantastic appetites. And he was his father's favorite. But he was the ungodly one, because he had this thing for pagan women and pagan gods. Jacob, on the other hand, was kind of quiet. I think we'd probably call him bookish, you know. But he was a godly man, and he was Rebekah's favorite, but he came out of the womb second. So technically, Esau was supposed to receive the father's blessing. But Jacob was the one that God had chosen for himself. Why? Because he knew Jacob would seek his will. You know, God is really okay with breaking man's traditions because his plan supersedes man's traditions every day of the week and twice on Sunday. So, you know, in that culture, who would have thunk it? But the ways of God are known only to him. So when it came time for the father's blessing, Esau, he was out hunting. And he should have been the heir to that blessing, but God told Rebekah by revelation to have Jacob put some animal skins on his arms and go in there and pretend to be Esau, make him up a pot of stew. That's why Isaac loved him so much, because of his cooking. Can you believe it? And so he gave Jacob the blessing, but you've got to understand, see, he was blind. Isaac was blind at that time. But folks, this was God's will. And, you know, people will look at someone and say, oh, well, that's not a righteous man. He's too rough. Or that's not a righteous person. That's a woman. They can't teach the word. And that we're always putting man's judgments on people. Folks, you're not God. That's why he gave us discerning of spirits, because we can't judge squat. And it's interesting because even the name, I think Esau meant something like wild man or something like that. I can't remember right now. But Jacob means supplanter, which I used to think was a bad word until I looked it up in the Hebrew. Huh, go figure. And it's one who takes another's place. God knew before they were in the womb that Jacob was going to take Esau's place. And you know what? Jacob is the same individual whose name was later changed by God to Israel. And he fathered 12 sons, and you know who they became? You guessed it, the 12 tribes of Israel. He established the Hebrew nation in those 12 tribes. That's a pretty big deal. That's a world changer. That's a history maker. But right after Jacob received his father's blessing, man, old Esau, fee-fi-fo-fum, you know, he smelled the blood of an Englishman. I mean, Esau flew into a rage. Remember, he's the hairy guy, the big guy, the hunter. And Jacob had to run for his life and away from the mother and everything he loved and held dear. You know what the Bible is full of? You may not like this truth, but it's full of this truth. Life is messy. It's kind of like the mess we're living in right now with the quarantine and COVID-19 and what's going to happen and yada, yada, yada. And every man has a psalm and every man has a doctrine, which is why our best North Star to listen to is that through good or bad, God remains steadfast through it all. He never leaves us or forsakes us. So picture Jacob in your mind. He's gotten, his brother is on a rampage. He's had to leave everything he knows. He's had to run from home by himself. He's a stranger in a strange land. He's not the hunter. You know, he's probably not that great with feeding himself in the wilderness or the, you know, trailblazer techniques. You know, how do I make a fire? What stars do I look for? And he's out there all by himself wandering around, but he's got one thing that Esau didn't have, the Spirit of God working in him. And, you know, let's just get real. I'm pretty sure Jacob was pretty anxious and concerned about his future. He didn't have that great verse in Philippians yet, be anxious for nothing. But so many of these principles apply to our life right now, if you have eyes to see and ears to hear. So please go to Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 28, and I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. Verse 10. Now Jacob left Beersheba and traveled toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and stayed overnight because the sun had set. Smart move if you're not a man who's familiar with the wilderness. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head for a pillow and lay down there to sleep. Verse 12. He dreamed there was a ladder, a stairway placed on the earth, and the top of it reached out of sight toward heaven. Are you with me? And in this dream, he saw the angels of God ascending and descending on it. In other words, going to and fro between heaven and earth. And this is such a beautiful foretelling and piece of information, prophetic, F-O-R-T-H, forthtelling, because God is showing Jacob in a significant way that there's a bridge between heaven and earth. There's a bridge between the spirit realm and the natural realm. There's a bridge between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man, God to man, man to God. And he's showing him this heavenly vision of truth, verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above and around it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. Do you like my God voice? I will give to you and to your descendants the land on which you're laying. And he said, your descendants shall be as countless as the dust of the earth. Remember him telling Abraham that? Here's the kid he's going to carry it out through. And you shall spread abroad to the west and the east and the north and the south. You know what that's saying? Your seed is going to cover the whole earth. And all the families, nations of the earth shall be blessed through you and your descendants. That's us. We're here to bless. This is our great, great, great grandpappy to the 10th power. What a promise. But see, here's a key. Jacob was willing to let go of everything he'd ever known to find a place he'd never been. Jacob was willing to let go of everything he'd ever known to find a place he'd never been. If you're not willing to let go of your past learning and concepts and precepts about God and give him a clean slate to work with, and that takes effort. He can't take you to the higher places where you can see heaven open up and angels ascending and descending. And let me tell you, it's a great thing to see. It's joyous. It's instructive. It builds you up. And he said in verse 15, God, behold, I am with you. Take that to heart. Thousands of years later, God is with you, the same God, if you will let him in. That's our part always, is to trust in God. Let go of the old, put on the new. Behold, I'm with you and will keep, which means to carefully watch over you and guard you wherever you may go. And I will bring you back to this promised land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. You know, Psalm 5, verse 12, you can look at it or keep your finger here or not, but it says, "For you, O Lord, bless the righteous man." That's those of us who are just doing our best to trust God. Nobody's perfect. I don't know why people keep looking for perfection in leaders or pastors or anybody else, because we're all going to fail on that score. We are just doing our best, hopefully. And God can work with that. What He can't work with is somebody who's just driven by the lust of the appetites of their flesh and turn their back on God. They have other idols that are in the throne of their heart where God is supposed to be. But Psalm 5 says, "For you, O Lord, bless the righteous man." Now listen to this. "You surround him with favor as with a shield." You ever had pigs in a blanket? Got all the dough wrapped around it? That's how God wants to surround you with favor. I think it was Rob Dexter one time who said, like a warm towel taken out of a dryer and just wrapped in it, you know, like a giant oversized bath towel, just head to toe, wrapped in God's warmth and favor. That promise is not out there for the unrighteous. They can live according to the natural thing, but they're not promised favor. The righteous man is. And here is God teaching Jacob the life lesson. Number one, you got to get your head to look in the mirror in the morning and see the glory of the Lord staring back at you. Not shuffling up to the mirror, "Oh man, another day, another manic Monday, you know, brushing your teeth, woe is me. People, you got Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you. The very first... Believing 101 is really getting in the woof and fiber and fabric of your heart that God is in you and with you and will never leave you. God never takes a vacation. Bam! Take that, Emerald. Throw that on some food. Bam! God never leaves you. That's the greatest spice of life there is. And that's the greatest challenge of every child of God, is just to grasp the reality that the Lord is in this place. Wherever you go, we need to get this. And remember, the Old Testament is written, what? For our learning. Right now, it would be to grab hold of the realization of the presence of God. Verse 17. So he was afraid, you know. This shocked him. And he said, "How fearful and awesome is this place?" He'd never had that kind of revelation before. And, you know, the first time you have it, it kind of blows your mind. You kind of wonder if you're untethered from earth so much, if you're going to come back, but you do. Unfortunately, you do. And it is an awesome thing when you have these visions that come straight from God to your heart. Just make sure they're coming from the true God, because the adversary can give you visions too. And he said, and Jacob said, and he, boink, the light went on. This is none other than the house of God, you know, and the gateway to heaven. At this point, Jacob is just processing this astounding revelation. So Jacob, verse 18, got up early in the morning. He took the stone he had put under his head. He set it up as a pillar, as a monument to the vision in his dream. He poured olive oil on top, and he named it Beth El. Beth in the Hebrew means house. El, God, Elohim, El Shaddai, El Elyon. It's the house of God. Honey, today you and I are the house of God. The Lord is in this place. Wherever you are, God is. Wherever you are right now, just God's right there. Pat yourself gently on the chest. and realize the Lord is in this place. The Lord is in this place. But you know what Jacob said, you know, because in verse 16, look at that verse again. Because when Jacob woke up from his sleep, he said, without any doubt, the Lord is in this place, and I did not realize it. You think? He had gone to sleep so wrapped up in his troubles that God had to give him this vision that got him back on the beam. And when he woke up in verse 16, he said, without a doubt, the Lord is in this place. And I didn't realize it. God is in you and with you, but you are the one who has to realize it. You are the one who's got to wrap your mind around this, that you are the temple. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, know ye not that your body is the temple, the house of the Holy Spirit, God. And we can hear him just like Jacob did, just like Jesus did. But like Elmer Fudd said, you need to get very, very quiet. We're chasing rabbits. Only in this instance, we're chasing God. To be still and know that he is God. So that you can hear him as clearly as Jesus hears him. Man, the Lord is in this place. Touch yourself, your chest, your head. The Lord is in this place. Open the eyes of my heart. Papa, help me realize this bigger and better than ever before. Because at the new birth, we were filled to the brim with him. Wall to wall, Holy Spirit. Honey, that's never going to change on your worst day, being the biggest nincompoop you can be. God is still inside of you. He may be embarrassed by what you're doing, but he's still with you. Verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, if God will be with me and keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and clothing to wear, and if he grants that I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. You know what? This is written poorly, because what Jacob is doing there is he's building his faith. He's confessing his faith. He's exercising his faith. He's getting himself to the place where he's going to expect the favor. You know, the if was on him. He understood that. God is in this place. The if is always on us. If we let him work through us. If we let him work through us to receive his favor. And then he set that stone up as a pillar in verse 22 to be a sacred place. And honey, you are the most sacred place on the planet because God is living in you. How people treat you is how they treat God. And how you treat others is how you treat God. And verse 22, he said, this is a sacred place. And look at this, and of everything that you give me. So he was expecting God's favor. I will give you the tenth. I will give the tenth unto you as an offering to signify his gratitude and dependence on God. Bam, right there. The Lord gave Jacob another key. He gave him the good sense to tithe. And Jacob understood that this was an offering to signify his gratitude and dependence on God. And I've never heard it put in a greater, simpler way. Yes, honor the Lord with your first fruits. Why? To signify your gratitude and dependence on God. Are you learning something here today from old Jacob? Now, Jacob's ladder signifies that bridge between heaven and earth, God to man and man to God, the spirit realm and the natural realm, where God, listen to this, where God is the provider and man is the grateful worshiper. You ever wondered your place in the universe? There it is. Worship God. Start with that. You can't go wrong. That's always the north point on the compass. And the way I look at it, since he's the provider and I'm the worshiper, that's a really good arrangement from the way I'm looking at it. And that was his plan all along, Papa's plan before the foundation, that he would take up residence in us, that we would be his tent, his tabernacle, his house, made without human hands, it says in Hebrews, so that God could live and move and have his being within you and me now and forever. Can I get an amen? And Jesus certainly knew that the Lord was with him. In John chapter 1, Jesus had just been baptized by John the Baptist and was seeking out his disciples, and he had seen Nathan standing under some tree, and he said, "Oh, you think that was cool? I saw you when you were standing under the tree." And Nathan was all blown away because God had given him that, Jesus, that revelation. And in John 1:51, then Jesus said to Nathanael, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." There was the bridge, the stairway to heaven, between heaven and earth. And nobody made that more abundantly clear than Jesus Christ, because he only spoke those things he heard the Father, and he only did those things he saw the Father do. What a connection! And today, you and I have that same connection. If you're willing to leave that place you don't need anymore and go to a new place, that God will show you the way, a deeper, more secure, for lack of a better term, a more tangible relationship with God. So he's not some ethereal thing out there, but you recognize, yes, he's the supernatural being that always existed. We don't understand the substance of God, but we see the effects of God every place we look. And every day in every way, I want him to become more and more real to me than the chair I'm sitting on, than the blue sky, than the sun that rises in the morning. To have that kind of real, rock-solid, bedrock relationship with my Father. I've got his seed within me. And he gave us that bridge at the new birth, but it's up to us to what? Use it. Because, honey, it's that bridge. If we hadn't accepted Jesus Christ, we're not even on the bridge. I sent out a meme the other day, and I can't remember, but it said, "God knows what's happening," or "He's prepared a way." And it was a chasm with a big pencil in the sky drawing a line from one side of the chasm to the other for people to walk across. It's not up to us how he gives us favor. It's just that he gives it to us. And you know what? Favor is just, it's a beautiful word. Just say the word favor. It just sits, it's pretty on your tongue. And you know what? It's an honor. It's an honor to receive favor. Because true favor, you know, not mind games and playing games with people and quid pro quo, but true favor comes from a heart of love and appreciation. And listen to this, boy, just tune in. And favor is part of your inheritance. The will, the New Testament that God gave us, it's part of your family inheritance, your family blessing, that you can claim favor as a child of God. Man, think about that for a sec. Have you ever asked a friend to do you a favor? You want them to extend a kindness to you out of the goodness of their heart. And, you know, here's a key. No money is exchanged, because that would be a job, not a favor. The favor of God can't be paid for. It can't be earned. It's described as an act of divine kindness, an act of grace, or genuine compassion. Our job is to expect it. Because you can't work for it. It comes through gratitude. Expectation. I think we'd all agree that eternal life is an act of God's favor, wouldn't you? You did nothing to deserve it. You did this itty-bitty thing, which you believed Jesus Christ was your Savior, and you were knocking your head into the brick wall, and you needed His help to guide your life, to guide your life, to be your Lord and Master. That means you take orders from Him, not your flesh. But let's look at a couple of other things. Every good and perfect thing the Father and the Son give us is favor. We don't deserve any of that. It's favor of what Christ accomplished. He paid the price, not us. God's divine influence upon our heart, directing our heart, is favor. Favor. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom is favor. All healing, no matter where it comes from. Miraculous, self-ministering, someone ministering, the doctor, any healing that comes is still God's favor. All healing comes from God. Prosperity is favor. Godly prosperity. With it, there's no sorrow. Why? Because you're smart enough to realize who it came from. And if you start dissing Him, it's going to probably go sour pretty quick. Soul restoration is favor. Forgiveness of sin is what? Favor. There you go. You're getting smart. A relationship with the Father and His Son is by favor. Are you seeing a pattern here? All because we need to realize God is in this place. He never leaves your side. Because favor is active, not passive. If it's passive, it hasn't happened. And old Jacob boy, he learned to walk in favor. Jesus learned to walk in favor. It says in the epistles, he learned obedience. So he had to learn to walk in favor. And of course, the natural progression of that is you and I were born to walk in favor. But you've got to get rid of self-criticism, of trying to figure everything out yourself, of you trying to play God and figure out every problem your way, or you're just blocking Him. It's a stronghold where He can't get in and do His thing. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says in Jesus, Luke 2, 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. You know, people liked being around Jesus. He was fun to be around. And in favor with both God and man. You know, when you're in favor with God, there's some people that love God and they're going to be attracted to you like flies on honey. But it says in the epistles that people who hate God, they're going to not like you because they don't like the light in you. So shake the dust off your feet and find some godly friends. And you know why Jesus grew in favor? Because He expected it. God delights in showing us favor. He never wants to withhold it. And those who don't manifest God's favor on a regular basis are simply those who don't expect it. Or won't accept it because they won't let go of the past. Their low self-esteem, you know, like Linus sucking his thumb. They like wagging around that nasty blanket. Let it go. You know, or they continually to get in God's way because they've got their way to fix it. You know, and that took me a long time to let go of because I'm very scientific, very analytical. You know, and I, you know, when I saw a problem, man, I had a solution. Man, as soon as I see a problem, I'm a fixer. And I had to learn to just say, Peg, sit down and shut up. Peg, just go to the corner and shut up. Because as long as I was fixing it, I wasn't open to God's solution. And doing that taught me new ways in painting and driving and in stewarding and especially ministering, in teaching, in compassion, in understanding other people. You can't teach yourself new things. Only God. You can only learn something new from a source outside of yourself. Let me say that again. You can only learn something new from a source outside of yourself. It could be a human being teaching you something new and you have an aha moment. Or it could be God teaching you something new and you have an aha moment. But as long as we're driving the boat and we've got everything figured out, we got tape over God's mouth because you're talking too loud to hear him. Remember,
be very, very quiet with chasing revelation.
Revelation. And that word expectation is such a power-packed word. It is a strong belief that something will happen. Unfortunately, most people expect, you got it, the worst. And God wants us to discipline our mind like a dog, teaching it to sit, roll over, and shake hands, to be quiet and expect the best. Expect favor in the worst of situations. Why not? What have you got to lose? If everything's already going wrong, what do you have to lose by expecting favor? Nothing. And you know what, people? Expecting favor is just simply having the holy boldness to believe that God meant what he said and says what he means, and he wants to give you favor. Aren't you the righteous man? Then if you are, he said back in Psalms, he wants to give you favor and wrap it around you like pigs in a blanket. Warm you with his favor. So the starting point of God's favor is just getting your heart. First, this is step number one. We're kind of doing a recap already. Is believing God is in you. God is in this place. You know, Jacob woke up and he said, wow, I finally realized God is in this place. We need to wake up. Wake up. Get off the stone pillow and realize God is in you. And you know, when you start being quiet on the inside, you find out he's talking to you all day long. You find out he's giving you witty inventions and wisdom and solutions all day long. If you learn to shut that mouth in your flesh that just talks and talks and talks. You know, when he said, be still and know that I'm God, that wasn't like a navel gazing. You know, we do associate that with meditation, which is great. But how about the rest of the day? Yeah. Be still. Come to that place of stillness throughout the day. Check in with Papa. Listen. I'm pretty sure God's talking to me all the time. It's like a radio that never shuts off. I just keep changing the channel because I'm too stupid to stay on station WGOD. How many times have I talked about the antenna, the radio station? Our whole body was set up to be a receiver of the things of God. And I invite you to say this often and frequently, Father, I look forward to your favor being evidenced in my life today in big ways and in small. Father, I look forward to your favor being evidenced, manifest, apparent in my life today. And man, the days you need to pray it are on the worst days. Well, that's not true. You need to pray it every day because every day we need God's favor. But you know what, people? Think about this for a second. When you really get this down, that God is in this place and that he chose you to be in this place, I mean, think about that. I mean, I look at myself sometime and go, oh, Lordy Pete, I am a broken down Volkswagen with rusty wheels and the windows don't roll up and the engines, you know, because there are some days I feel pretty not so great. How's that? And then God kind of slaps me on the side of the face in my cheek and says, wake up. Wake up, kid. I chose you. Would I put myself in a piece of garbage? I am God who created all things. I am going to have the $125,000 supercharged Ferrari, XYZ, whatever. Honey, I chose you because I see you as the best. And if you ever quit thinking about what you think about you and just think by sheer logic, I mean, if you could, live any place you want, would you choose a trash dumpster? No. So why not let go of that image of yourself? No, and neither would I choose a 20,000 square foot mansion because that's a waste. But I would choose a beautiful, clean abode with a nice view that met all my needs, more than abundant. You know, the balance. That is you and that is me. We are just beautiful in God's sight. He loves living in this place. It's why Jesus said that He and the Father wanted to come and make their abode with us. That means they're moving in to stay. They've brought their bags with them. They have their trunk. They moved in to you. And we just, call on God's will to let us see the exchange of all the old messy us for the new renovated, clean, orderly us, where God lives and moves and has His being, where we now take the place of Jesus Christ. The same joy and delight that God has in the resurrected Christ, He presently has in you. God joys in your presence, in your relationship with Him. He delights when you turn your heart to Him. And when you know God is in this place, when you wake up like old Jacob one day, and there's one day it's going to hit you stronger than ever before, God really is in me, in this place. That's when you start walking on a habitual basis with the same expectation of favor that Jesus walked in. Minute by minute, second by second, Jesus knew God was in Him and with Him all the time. And I read a quote the other day, and I don't remember who said it, but it just kind of put an exclamation point on what I'm talking about. They said, "It must be a great disappointment to God if we are not dazzled by His favor at least 10 times a day. If we're not dazzled by His favor 10 times a day. A word He says, a thing He does, a thought that comes, just a little feeling of joy. God tells me funny jokes. He'll tell me funny things and have me laugh out loud all by myself because He knows I love humor." And I read that and I said, man, to be dazzled by His favor 10 times a day, what a godly aspiration. What a godly expectation. And you know what? I don't want to disappoint Him. And I'm expecting God to dazzle me every day. Because when it comes to favor, it's real simple. We have not if we expect not. Just start expecting things to go your way. I could spend another hour and a half telling you little tiny things that have gone in my favor for the past 2 weeks. Hundreds of them. Little tiny things and big, humongous things. I mean, double portion things. I mean, blow your socks off kind of things. So I kind of leave you with this thought. How would your life change? How would your life change if every day you woke up and instead of expecting, man, what's gonna break today? What's gonna go wrong today? Because, honey, I lived in that teepee for a long, long time, and I don't like the wampum it brings. Or waking up, maybe you don't think that, but you just wake up with a feeling of dread. You don't really want to get out of bed. And instead of that, you woke up expecting, like a child on their birthday. You know, presents, cake, ice cream, candles, you know, expecting God's favor. You don't know how he's going to do it. You don't know exactly when he's going to do it. But man, you wake up with that expectation. You walk in the mirror. You look in your own eyes and see the glory of the Lord staring back at you. It says in Corinthians, we're changed from glory to glory. How? By realizing God is in this place. And you start expecting favor, feeling a hopeful anticipation that things are just going to go right for you. Even if they're wrong right now, God's going to show you how to get out of that ditch. Not trying to quantify it, but just letting go and letting God, trusting that he has your back. You develop this. It's just a knee-jerk reaction. It's a gut feeling that you start to walk around with, that you're above the world's problems, not beneath them. That you really are seated in the heavenlies, looking down, and life's biggest problem is nothing but a dot, a speck from God's perspective. He is the Lord God Almighty. Is anything too hard for him? No, 1,000 times no. And God has every intention of loving you day by day as we go through this timeline of human life with the same love wherewith he presently loves Jesus. What favor. What, that's favor. So why not expect that? Accept that. Relish in that truth. Remember Ephesians 3 says, Papa, this is written down. You don't have to wonder about this. Wants to bless you, what? Exceeding, anybody know it? Abundantly, above all you can ask. That'd be great. But he adds on, or think. He wants to do cool things for us we haven't even thought of yet. If we would just get out of our own way. Leave that past behind and go to a new place. I don't know about you, but that sounds like favor to me. Exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. And you know, think about this. God set that bar. You didn't. I didn't. So why don't we have the holy boldness to expect it? God set the bar high on purpose to challenge him to milk the moment to just trust him. Listen to him. To know that God is in this place, in you and with you, loving you, desiring with all his heart to bring good things into your life from every direction, north, south, east, west. And to help you exercise your faith, to build that faith muscle, to have the expectation that you can walk in the same favor that Jesus does. 1 Thessalonians 5:25. Oh, man, this is a good one to print out and put on your fridge so you get your mouth to shut and listen to God's voice. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. God is the faithful one. Quiet yourself down and tune to WGOD because he's constantly wanting to give you favor. Living in favor is how we glorify God. You know, Papa shows us off in the spirit realm. He brags to the angels and even to the demons. Look over there at my kids. Look how blessed they are. We're like his trophy case, man. He shows off us to show his variegated wisdom in the millions and millions of ways he can bless each and every one of us as unique individuals all throughout the day. Honey, God is in this place. He is in this place. I just hope you realize it. He is in you. He lives in you. He has made his home in you. And your principal role on this earth is to be outrageously loved by God. To be outrageously loved by God and then turn around and give that love to others. Oh, just soak in that for a second. Your principal role on earth is to be outrageously loved by God and then turn around and give it to others. Because you've got more than enough. In good times and in bad. In lean times or in bounty. When you're out in the wilderness like Jacob. When you believe that God is in this place, God's favor is sure to flow. Expect it. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, that we live in your constant favor. We live under your smile. You are the God who goes before us and wraps us in your favor. We rejoice that your favor gives us focus. It helps us focus that you're our constant stream of provision. And Father, we look forward to your favor becoming evident time and time again, today and every day, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.